Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Well, they put Annie in a buckboard and started out for town. I rode alongside for half a mile or so and tried to tell her I wasn't part of getting her arrested, but she wasn't listening. So I gave Scar's head. It was about 9 o'clock when I got back to Virtue City. The place looked even stranger by night than by day. Just a light here and there where folks were living. And then whole blocks of darkness in between. Sort of like a... like the candles on a cake when part of them had been blown out. I stopped off at the Mansion Hotel long enough to get me a room, and then I headed over to Doc Cross's house. He was sitting in the living room eating a box of hard candy when I got there.
Come on in, Brick. Come on in. How'd you make out? Get her to sign on the dotted line?
No.
Sorry to hear that. Oh, my gosh. I ought to know better than to eat this stuff with my teeth. Sure is good, though. Have a piece?
No, thanks.
Well, now you mustn't feel too bad, Britt. I was afraid you wouldn't have much luck with her. So was Mr. Huxley. He went ahead and got that warrant drawn up.
Yeah, I know.
Huh?
Yeah. I was there when the sheriff arrested her. She thinks I was in cahoots with him and Huxley.
Oh, well, now that's a shame. But don't you worry. I'll see she finds out the truth.
No, I guess it served me right for getting mixed up in her affairs.
No, you wasn't mixing, Britt. You was just doing us a favor, and we're all much obliged. Mm-hmm. You know, sending for Clyde Huxley was just about the smartest stunt I ever pulled.
Maybe so, but you haven't got the right of way yet.
We'll get it, Britt. We'll get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think jailing is the answer. Besides, you'll have to turn her loose anyway. Huxley can't make that charge of attempted murder stake.
No, he's not charging her with anything, Britt.
What?
It's just a question of whether she's got all her faculties or not. That's what the hearing will be about.
You mean he's claiming she's crazy?
Well, you said yourself she was peculiar.
I said she lived in the past, that's all. Everybody's got something to remember, does that, more or less?
Well, in her case, it's more, not less. Of course, it's up to Judge Drayton to decide.
Well, hasn't there got to be medical testimony and a sanity hearing?
Yep. Huxley subpoenaed me this evening.
Doggone it, Doc. Now, this just isn't right.
Huxley's her only relative. He looked up our state law. It says the nearest relative can demand a sanity hearing if there's sufficient cause.
You take that mine away from her, you'll break her heart.
Now, wait a minute, Britt. You said yourself this wasn't none of your business, that you were sorry you mixed into it.
Sure, but it just looks like I got mixed up in it. All right, good night, Doc. I'll see you later.
Mrs. Huxley, I want to get this clear. You admit firing a shotgun at various people who have approached your place of residence at various times.
I've shot at people trying to get into the Huxley mine, if that's what you mean.
That's right. Now, how often has this occurred?
As often as they tried it.
Now, order, now. You come to order. It's a very serious matter. Now, let's see. Where was... Surely you must admit this behavior of yours isn't exactly normal.
It's normal for me.
Now, order. What I mean is the average person doesn't use firearms on harmless visitors.
The average person don't own the Huxley mine. I do.
Your Honor.
Go ahead, Mr. Huxley.
This is the crux of my poor cousin's delusion. This feeling of hers that the Huxley mine is of some great value, that it still contains silver, when we all know that it's worthless.
And just how do you know that?
You've proved it to us. For 10 years you've lived there and searched the shafts every day. Have you found silver? Even a trace of it?
No, I ain't.
You see, Your Honor.
If that makes me crazy, then Sin must have really been out of his head. He spent 12 years prospecting that mine before he made his first strike. I still got 2 years to go before I'll be even with him.
Yes, but there was silver there then.
There is now.
Your Honor.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Huxley, but after what Doc Cross said and then what you yourself say, well, I'm afraid that the law allows me no alternative.
Excuse me, Your Honor.
Now, see here. We're not going to have any more interruptions. Who is that man, Doc?
Britt Hanson.
Hanson, the six-shooter?
Yes, but now don't you mention
Doc. Well, if there's something you wish to say, Mr. Ponson, this here court will be happy to hear you.
Oh, thanks, Judge. I've been listening to this hearing, and like Mr. Huxley says, it all seems to hinge on whether or not there's any silver in the Huxley mine. What I mean is, if there was silver, then Annie's actions wouldn't seem so strange, would they?
Well, no. I suppose not. She'd be protecting a valuable piece of land. But...
Yeah, well, now, I think maybe you ought to see this report here. You see, I took some ore samples from the Huxley mine over to this assay office this morning. And, here's one of them.
I'm afraid I don't quite follow you, Mr. Potter.
If you'll just read that report, Your Honor.
Let's see. Our samples tested show a value of approximately... $125 a ton!
What? $125?
Yeah, I figured they'd run a little higher, but I guess...
Let me see that, Judge.
I can't believe it.
Well, that's what it says, all right. Britt, this ore come from the Huxley?
Yeah, that's where it came from.
Listen, everybody. Everybody, Annie's found silver again. For all we know, the whole town's been sitting on it, just like in the old days. Silver!
Yeah, but what about the railroad? You've got a contract with my company.
We don't need your railroad, Nelson. We've got silver.
Yes.
Please,
please,
order.
Now, I wouldn't be too hasty, Doc. Of course, there's no possibility of bringing the line through the Huxley now, I suppose. But there is that other route. It'd cost Mr. Nelson's company a little more money.
That might be arranged. Of course, I'll have to check with the main office.
Oh, you would, huh? Oh, well, that seems a shame. Too bad you can't sort of make the decision right now on the spot, you know, before another railroad hears about the silver and tries to beat you in here.
No. On second thought, there really isn't any reason to delay the matter. If you'll just drop by my office, Dr. Cross, I'll send the contract and give the order to begin construction on the other route.
Well, I guess that takes care of everything, except Annie and the sanity hearing. You were just about to hand down a ruling, Judge, weren't you?
Now, you come to order. Well, there's no question about her sanity. And I'm surprised at you, Mr. Huxley. A lawyer of your standing, pressing a complaint like this. Why, Silver Annie Huxley is one of Virtue City's outstanding citizens. Always has been. Always will be. Court adjourned.
Now, inside of 5 minutes, the only people left in that courtroom were me and Annie. It's a funny thing, you know. She was the only person who hadn't been excited about the silver. She just kind of stared at me without budging. And then the corners of her lips sort of wrinkled up into a smile.
Britt Ponson?
Yes, ma'am.
You better get out of town before they find out. They'd tar and feather you for sure.
Well, what are you talking about, Annie?
Why, you think I didn't recognize that piece of ore? I ought to. I've been looking at it for 30 years. Them samples have been sitting on my dresser ever since Sin found them in his first strike.
No.
You saw them last night. You knew they were souvenirs from the old days.
Well, they could have been something that you dug up recently, couldn't they?
I'm not saying you lied, Britt. All you told them was that the ore was from the Huxley. That's true enough. It's just a good thing they didn't ask you when.
Yes, I guess it is. Well, anybody can make a mistake, you know.
You knew what you were doing. And you knew the railroad would be coming through the other route before they got wise.
No, I wouldn't exactly say that, but under the circumstances, I kind of think maybe I'd better leave town. Don't you think that would be... So long, Annie.
Wait a minute, Britt. I want to thank you.
Oh, well, nothing to thank me for, Annie. It just looks like I can't tell old ore samples from fresh ones. That's all. month or two later, before I heard about Virtue City again, bumped into a fellow in Idaho Springs who was heading up that way. Said there'd been a big silver strike near the town. I tried to talk him out of going over there. I told him it was probably just a false alarm. He wouldn't listen. He said there'd been a false strike 3 or 4 weeks ago, and everybody went out prospecting. And the first thing you knew, somebody found silver. The real thing. Fella had a newspaper from Virtue City to prove it. Editorial on the front page was by Doc Cross about moving the county seat back to where it belonged. Things sure have a funny way of working out, don't they?
Here's a tip for more great dramatic entertainment each week on the NBC Radio Network. Direct from his great hit in From Here to Eternity comes a new dramatic Frank Sinatra to play the hard-hitting adventure role of Rocky Fortune every Tuesday evening. And if comedy is your weakness, you'll want to know that Fibber McGee and Molly are now heard every day, Monday through Friday, on the NBC Radio Network. Remember, you'll hear more of America's greatest radio programs if you keep your dial set to this same station of the NBC Radio Network. Coleman, America's leader in modern automatic home heating equipment, and the National Broadcasting Company have presented James Stewart as the Six Shooter. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture Thunder Bay. Others in the cast were Jeanette Nolan, Dan O'Herlihy, Herb Vigran, Robert Griffin, and Parley Bear. The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions, and is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and the transcribed story is written by him. Special music was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Hal Gibney speaking. Listen to Last Man Out, next on the NBC Radio Network.